This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
We are in a series, glory to God, and it's called The Fruit of the Spirit. Amen. And I don't know about you, but we should, our goal as Christians is should be to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. And so let's look at the fruit this morning. And we're going to, each week we're going in a particular fruit, dissecting it and discovering how to walk in it. Amen. And in Galatians 5, chapter 5, verse 22 through 23, it reads like this: "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such there is no law." That's powerful. That's powerful. So the fruit of the Spirit, as we've been discovering in our series, that's really the character of God. How many people want to walk in the character of God in here? Amen. How many people want to be more like the Lord? Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to be more like Jesus. I don't want to be like the devil. Amen. I want to be like Jesus. And when you're walking in the Spirit, it produces the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And we know the number one fruit of the Spirit is love. Somebody say love. And love comes into our lives when we receive Jesus. Can I get a witness in the house today? So Jesus is the door opener for God's love being activated in our life. Without Jesus, you cannot really love like God. I'm going to say that again. Without Jesus, you cannot love like God. And God wants us loving like Him. We have the capacity to love like God. Do you believe that today? And you do. You have the ability, you have the capacity to love like God. I like what it says in Romans 5:5, because when you receive Jesus, you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive God on the inside, and God is love. Somebody say, God is love. So when you receive Jesus, you receive love on the inside of you. In Romans 5:5, it says it this way: "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in your hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." So what's downloaded in us is the love of God. So you have the ability to love. Amen. So we have the capacity to love like God. We also discover that love really it comes out of, when we're walking in the love of God, we should be giving and forgiving. Somebody say, I'm a giver. And I'm a forgiver. So really, the love of God should prompt us to give and should prompt us to forgive. Amen? And we know this, that the love of God, because in Romans 5:8, it says, "But God demonstrated His love towards us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So the Bible actually says that God died for us while we're sinners. And the Bible says when we were sinners, when we weren't really hooked up with God through Jesus, the Bible actually says we were enemies of the cross. And you may say, well, I didn't hate on God, you know. But if you don't have Jesus, then you are an enemy of the cross. And we're not enemies, we're friends of God. Somebody say, I'm a friend of God. I love that. And so this verse is saying that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That means that God is given His grace to us so that we could have eternal life even when we don't deserve it. Amen. That's powerful. Even when you don't deserve it, God still gives you grace. So you won't fall on your face. Amen. So God gives us grace even when we don't deserve it. That's powerful. And that's what we should be giving to other people. Even though other people might hurt us, do us wrong, we give them grace even though they don't deserve it. This will help you today, because today normally I'm preaching on healing, because this is Healing Sunday. And so the fruit of the Spirit is on patience or perseverance. It's going to help you persevere until you receive the promise. Amen? And some of you are believing God for healing. Some of you got people are believing God for a breakthrough. And I'm just going to say, hold on, because it's coming. Amen. It's coming. Just keep believing. Look at your neighbor and say, keep believing. So you don't give up. We don't give up on God. We don't throw in the towel on God. We keep believing, regardless of what it looks like. Amen. I like what it says in Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Amen. So this is saying here is that God gives us, you know, Jesus gives us eternal life. In that eternal life is forgiveness, and that forgiveness is brought about by God's grace in our lives. Amen. Somebody say, I am forgiven. So you got to start getting a revelation and stop focusing on your mistakes or your shortcomings. Don't let the devil get you focused on that. Focus on the power of the blood of Jesus, and that power forgives us no matter what we're doing, as long as we keep coming back to Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'm going to say this, and I've said this before. God's more interested in your future than your past. You got to get a revelation of that. He's more interested. It doesn't matter what you did yesterday. It doesn't matter, you know, it's are you seeking God today? That's what matters. Amen. And the Bible says if you seek God, he will move towards you. So you, as you seek him, he moves towards you. Amen. I like this. God's fruit of love produces joy in a believer's life. Joy comes about us being thankful for the relationships that God has blessed us with. So I'm going to say this. Joy doesn't come from the amount of money that we have in the bank. It shouldn't come from our nice house or our cars. It should be the relationship that we have with God through Jesus Christ, and the relationships that we have with others. Because on your deathbed, you're not going to be thinking about your money or your stuff. You're going to be thinking about the people that you love through this life. And so when we should get joyful because we have precious relationships with your spouse, with your kids, with the church members, glory to God. We should be thankful, and that's what Paul was thankful for, was the relationships that he built. And he wrote letters even to the Philippian church, how he was thankful and how he had joy with the relationship he had with the churches that he built. Somebody say, I am thankful. I love that. And so I love this because when you stay thankful, that creates joy in your life. Amen? And I love what it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. So God's will is twofold. One is to bear good fruit, but also he's saying his will for us is to rejoice. Somebody say, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. I love that. So what are you supposed to be doing? You're supposed to be rejoicing. Amen. You're supposed to be praying. Amen. You're supposed to be giving thanks. And praying is giving your problems to God and not picking them back up. So if you're praying right, when you walk away from your prayer room, when you walk away from that, you should have total peace in your life. Can I get a witness? I'm telling you, when I pray, peace comes into my life. A prayerless person is a person that doesn't walk in a lot of peace. But when I'm praying, I notice the peace of God comes in my life. Why? Because I'm giving my problems over to God. Say, give it to God. I love that. And then we discovered the fruit of peace last week. And the fruit of peace comes by us fully trusting God no matter what it looks like in our lives. Amen. Has anything ever happened in your life where things weren't working out and you were losing your peace. And when you lose your peace, really, you're losing your trust in God enabling to handle your situation. And sometimes when I'm in that place where I got pressure, I'm in a place of pressure in my life, you know, and it's hard for me to trust God. Sometimes I'll say, I trust you, God. I don't know why these things are happening, but I trust you anyway. I believe you're going to work out good for those that love you and called according to your purpose. So I'm going to say this to you this morning. It's not over yet. In other words, life is beginning every day that you wake up. His mercies are renewed every morning. Do you believe that today? So if we're going to walk in the peace of God, we got to trust God. In other words, we got to let go and let God. I love that. Let go and let God. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with some of your heart. That's right. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. I got to make sure you're listening here. Amen. Make sure you're focused. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And then the Bible says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. And he shall, one translation says it this way, make the crooked ways straight. What is the devil trying to do? He's trying to make our paths crooked. But God can straighten you out. Amen. God can straighten your paths out. Do you believe that today? God can fix what's broken in your lives. You got to believe that today. Somebody say, I believe that. God is fixing what's broken in our lives. And we got to believe that. Peace is the absence of fear in our lives. Fear produces worry and anxiety. Amen? And so peace is the absence of fear. Sometimes when I'm dealing with fear, because if you're dealing with fear, then you're not walking in peace. And sometimes to overcome fear, you got to quote a scripture. Has anybody ever dealt with anxiety in the house? Has anybody ever dealt with worry in the house? Worry about what's going to come about. Then you need to get a scripture that overcomes the fear that's trying to come into your life. I love this scripture here. It says in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Some of you might need if some of you tend to deal with anxiety or depression, then that's all an offspring of fear. And so you got to pray, and then you got to speak the word. Amen. Say speak the word. And so sometimes you just got to confess the scriptures, because there's power in speaking the word of God. And when the enemy starts working on you, you need to speak, for God has not given me the spirit of fear, but he has given me the spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind, a well-balanced mind. So you speak that. Thank you, Lord. You have not given me a spirit of fear, but I have the spirit of power. I have the spirit of love. I have a sound mind, glory to God. And you might need to confess that over and over until the peace of God comes into your lives. Now, I want to focus this morning on the fruit of patience. How many people are patient out here? How many people like to wait? Nobody likes to wait for anything. We are in a society where everything has to be short. Everything has to be compact. You fast food restaurants, everything has to be quick. And now they have, you don't watch a YouTube video anymore. You watch shorts, YouTube shorts. That's like 5 seconds of information on a YouTube video channel, right? Why? Because you can't go more than 5 seconds. Amen. And so most people don't even have the ability. That's why even in church, most people can't hang out more than 30 or 40 minutes or they're in trouble. I'm going to try to get this done quick. Amen. Because then your mind starts to wander. Amen. And wander. Amen. And so we need to focus on the fruit of patience. And the fruit of patience is the ability to encounter times of waiting and enduring difficult situations and people in our lives. So patience is enduring difficult situations, difficult people in our lives. Somebody say, I'm patient. So patience undergirds us for the problems that we encounter in this life until we see the promise manifested. That's powerful. That's powerful. So patience undergirds us for the problems that we encounter in this life until we see the promise manifested. Do you know it doesn't always happen instantaneously? Do you know the promises of God sometimes is a process? Somebody say a process. And I know you want it instantaneously, but it's a process to receive from God. Patience is the ability to suffer for a while and persevere until you see the breakthrough in your lives. So patience is a place of suffering. Pastor, you tell me I got to suffer. You're going to suffer in this life every once in a while. And that suffering a lot of times is waiting for the promise to come to pass in our lives. There's a process and nobody wants to wait. But in that place of waiting, God is maturing us. Somebody say, I'm going through a maturing process. So God wants to mature us while we're waiting through the process to receive the promise. Amen? Patience is a characteristic of love, and patience is the component of faith. I love that. So in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, it says, love is patient and love is kind. Think about that. So the component of love is patience and kindness. That's also the fruit of the Spirit. And so really, patient is waiting, but not just waiting with anger overtones. Amen. It's waiting, but being kind while you're waiting. Amen. And so we got to learn to adjust our attitudes in the waiting room. We got to learn not to get frustrated in the waiting rooms of life. We got, you know, anybody ever, I know some of you have been to the doctors, amen? Have you ever been in the waiting room? And it seems like they set the appointment, but it's never on time. It's like they set the appointment at 10 o'clock, but they don't call you to 10:15. Have you ever noticed that? It seems like they don't ever call you on time with an appointment. Now dentist is probably a little different, but it seems like in the hospital, it takes time. It's like, well, I thought my appointment was 10 o'clock. And they say, just wait until you're called. So what do you do when you go to the doctors? You bring a good book to read, like the Bible. Why? So you get prepared for waiting, amen? And so we have to be kind while we are waiting, amen? So patience and kindness has to kick in when we're enduring suffering for the sake of others, amen? I like what it says in Colossians 3, 12 and 13. It says, therefore, as the elect God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, talking about being kind, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. Notice it says bearing with one another. Amen. Has anybody ever got on your nerves in this place? Has your spouse ever got on your nerves? No, I love my spouse. We never get on each other's nerves. Amen. Every once in a while, because even though you might be married, you're still two different people. Now, I know God calls us one when we get married. It's a mystery. But we still got our own personalities, and we still have our likes and our dislikes, and we're not always in sync as married couples. But if you stay focused on Jesus, and both of you focus on Jesus, it will bring you in sync as married couples. So it's saying here that patience has to kick in when we're bearing with one another. In other words, we're dealing with people's issues. Because everybody has issues, and patience has to kick in to give people the benefit of the doubt. Amen. Can I get an amen on here? Amen. And he says, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you must also do the same. So he's talking about here, when you're walking in patience, you got to be kind, you have to be humble, you have to be meek, and you have to be able to endure the suffering in the process. Amen? Because I'm going to say this, things change, they don't stay the same. And so don't think what you're involved in today or what you're dealing with or maybe a sickness you're dealing with is going to be forever. No, God is in he's in us to change us and to change the circumstances that we deal with. You believe that today? And so things are subject to change in this world. They're not going to stay the same. The devil will try to make you think that things will never change. They will always be the same. You will never get out of your problem. No, you will come out of it. Amen. You got to believe that today. Somebody say, I'm getting better,
I'm getting better.
And not bitter. And sometimes when we're waiting, we don't get better. We get bitter. We get upset. We're like, okay, God, it's about time. God, you know, it's been taking way too long. When is it going to happen? Well, when you get to the point where you're walking in peace in the process, you'll have the promise. In other words, God's trying to move you in a place where you're content in Him and not content in the blessing that you're trying to get from Him. And when you get content in God, then the blessing will come. Can I get a witness in the house today? But see, a lot of times we're looking for the hand of God instead of seeking the face of God. I'm going somewhere this morning. And you need to seek the face of God, and then you'll get what's in His hand. But a lot of Christians are always seeking to get something from God instead of have a relationship with God. So He wants you to be blessed, because when you get that blessing, He doesn't want that blessing taking you away from Him. He wants that blessing to be added to you while you still maintain a relationship with Him. Can I get a witness in the house today? Because sometimes prosperity and blessing will sometimes cause some people to move away from their relationship with God. Why? Because they start elevating the blessing and the promotion, and they elevate that above their relationship with God, and they make that the thing. But we don't have any idols in our lives. Amen. God is the only one that needs to be on the pedestal of our hearts. Can I get a witness in the house today? And so when God brings the blessing and we learn to develop a relationship in the process, we will receive the promise. I remember that God called me to pastor many years ago. I was the youth minister of the church. And the Holy Spirit said, I'm calling you to be the next pastor of the church. At that time, it was Abundant Harvest Church. And so I was under the pastor, and I thought it was going to happen like next week. And, you know, it was 2001, I was waiting for the pastor to say, I'm ready for you to take over the church. I said, okay, next week. And next week came, and it didn't happen. And then a month goes by, and it didn't happen. And 6 months go by and hasn't happened. And a year goes by and hasn't happened. And I'm like, when is this going to happen? And then 2 years goes by and it hasn't happened. And I'm like, I'm waiting. Lord, You said I was going to be the next pastor. What's going on? And things don't seem to be happening. And I'm getting frustrated. And I start praying. I said, God, You called me to be the pastor, but I'm not the pastor. He's the pastor. And the Lord said, I call those things that be not as though they were. I said, oh, yeah, that's faith. So You're calling me, even though I'm not there yet, but You're calling me to be the pastor, so I'm going to be the pastor. And then 3 years go by, and 4 years go by, and pretty soon I stopped being frustrated. I got to the point where I got happy with where I was at. And I was like, you know what? It really doesn't matter. I'm just happy serving God. I'm happy serving the church. I'm happy being the youth minister. I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it if Jesus comes out. It doesn't matter anymore. As soon as I got fine with it, the pastor came to me and said, would you like to be the next pastor of the church? I said, no, I'm fine. I'm kind of happy just being behind here. I don't have any responsibilities. I don't have to be the pastor. All eyes aren't on me. Amen. I could be behind the curtain because I was doing sound at that time. I could be behind. Nobody could see me. Amen. I could be picking my nose back there. And nobody knows anything. Amen. I don't have any responsibility. I was happy. But when he said, "Are you ready to be the pastor?" I said, I think God is leading. Yeah, I think that. Yeah, okay, I am. Amen. But God was preparing. See, preparation time is never wasted time. See, some of you are in preparation time. God's preparing you for something greater. Amen. And sometimes when God's preparing you for something greater and greater, it takes a little longer. You see, listen, think about this. That King Saul, remember King Saul was the first king of Israel, but he became king really fast. And, you know, he was promoted really fast and he ended up falling. He ended up not following God. He was promoted really fast and fragile, slow and steady. I'm going to say it again, when God moves you too fast, sometimes you're not ready for the promotion. You're not ready for the blessing, and then you mishandle the blessing. And so Saul mishandled his kingship, and he lost the throne. But David, you know, he had to go through the process of pain. Remember, David, he started off gangbusters, killing the giant. He became Saul's top general, glory to God. And everything was working for David until Saul got jealous of David. And then Saul started chasing David down, trying to kill David. There was a process. So sometimes you gotta have the Saul coming against you to get the Saul out of you. And so David had to get some of that pride and that arrogance that we all deal with. Do you know we all deal with pride and arrogance in here? You say, "Oh, not me, Pastor. I'm the meekest person here." No, if you're saying that, there's some pride there, because we all deal with some pride. We all deal with arrogance. When you walk by a mirror, you normally look in it. That's true. Is that right? Why? Because you're checking yourself, making sure you look all right. Amen. Making sure everything is put together. Is that right? And then when somebody takes a picture of a group shot, who's the first person you look at? Yourself. Why? Because you want to make sure you're not photobombing the picture. You know what I mean by photobombing it. Amen. And so what am I saying? I'm saying that there is a process to the promise of God. And patience works, again, he works through love, through us being kind. But patience also works with our faith. Amen. I love this in Hebrews 6, 11, 12. It says, "As we desire that each one of you should show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end." So right prior to that, the writer in Hebrews was talking about people backing off of the things of God and backsliding. And he said that I believe that you guys aren't going to do that. And he says that we desire that each one of you should show the same diligence. So we show diligence, full assurance of hope until the end. In other words, we always keep pressing in until Jesus comes back. And then he says here that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. See, the warning in the waiting rooms of life is that we get slack in the waiting room. In other words, just because you're waiting doesn't mean that you stop believing. I'm going to say again, just because you're waiting for the promise to come in, you got to still stay active in your faith. You got to still, don't say, "Well, I just give up. If God's not going to make it come to pass, then I'm not even going to worry about it anymore." No. Keep believing that God's going to cause it to come to pass. Keep your switch of faith turned on in the waiting room. Don't get sluggish. Don't get lax. Don't forget about the promise of what you're believing God to do in your life. No, keep it before you. Amen. I love the Amplified and the way the Amplified reads. It says, in order that you may not grow disinterested, talking about being in the waiting room of life, and become spiritual sluggards, but imitators, behaving as do those who through faith, by their leaning on the entire personality of God in Christ, in absolute trust and confidence in His power, wisdom, and goodness, and by the practice of patient endurance and waiting, are now inheriting the promises. I mean, that's a lot. So he's talking about here, while we're waiting, we have trust and confidence in God that He's going to make it good. He's going to make whatever we're believing God for good in our life. In other words, God is faithful. See, the devil's trying to make you think God's not faithful. No, if He came through for you once, He can come through for you again. God is faithful. When Jesus comes back on that white horse, on His thigh is written, faithful and true. God is faithful. Jesus is faithful and true. Patience and perseverance empowers our ability to stay steady in the process of receiving the promises in our lives. Amen. I love that. So patience and perseverance empowers us. It keeps us steady when things aren't looking right in our lives, and we just stay steady. Regardless of what it looks like, stay steady in the waiting room of life. Amen. I like this scripture because this is a powerful scripture dealing with patience. It's in James 1, 2, and 4. And this is something that we don't like to follow. Sometimes there's things in the Bible that's hard for us to follow. This is a tough one for me. It says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. That's a hard one for me. I don't get excited when I get problems in my life. I don't jump up in joy and have a party. You know, let's get excited. We got problems. You know, but he's saying here, count it all joy. I'm like, what? Are you serious? What are you smoking, James? Count it all joy when you got problems? A lot of times what we want to do is grumble and complain about it. Isn't that the first thing we want to do when we got a problem? Grumble and complain. I can't believe what they just said. I can't believe what they did. I can't believe how they're treating me. You know what I'm saying? We want to complain and grumble. Like it's the squeaky wheel that gets the oil, right? Sometimes it works. But really, as Christians, we're not supposed to be complaining. We're not supposed to be griping. We're supposed to be praising. Can I get a witness in the house today? So he's saying, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. It's like that person that said to the pastor when he came up for prayer. He said, Pastor, I need more patience. And so the pastor said, okay, I'm going to pray for you that you have more patience. And then that old boy went through all kinds of problems that week. And the next Sunday, the boy comes up to the pastor and he said, I went through all kinds of problems. And the pastor said, that's what I prayed for, that you might have problems so that you might have some patience. So don't ask for patience when you come up here for prayer, because you get ready for the problems. Because when you got problems, it produces, if we respond in the right way, patience. But it says here, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. So here, this is saying here, when we get fortified in patience, then we don't get upset in the waiting room. When we get fortified in patience, so wherever we're experiencing trials, and the trials tests our faith, and our faith being tested, respond correctly, produces the patience. So when we allow patience to work, it forces us, this is the key, patience forces us to wait on God. I'm going to say this, a lot of times we don't want to wait on God, but the Bible has a lot to say about waiting on God. And waiting on God is allowing God to be God in our life. In other words, you're not calling all the shots. Some of you think, oh man, I'm calling all the shots. I got faith. I called the shots. No, God's calling the shots. You got to get a revelation that God's, eventually he's calling the shots. So I want to give you three things that patience does in our lives. Number one, patience puts us in a place where we need to wait on God. Amen. And so say this out loud. My life is on God's timetable and not mine. So your life is on God's timetable and not ours. It took me many years. I went through a divorce when I was a lot younger, and then I started believing God for a wife, and it took many years before Yin came into the picture. Amen? And now I know why, because she's 15 years younger than me. So she would have been a teenager if I started dating her when I was believing God for a while. And so God had, there was a waiting time. She had to get a little older. I think I married her and she was 27 years of age when I was believing God for a wife for like 15 years. Amen. Why? God, there's a process. And God couldn't let me marry her at when she was a teenager. There was a she had to grow, and I had to grow, and we both had to grow into being mature people in God. Amen. And so there is a process in time. I love what it says in Habakkuk. I love this, or Habakkuk 2 verse 3. It says, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak; it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come." It will not tarry. So here he's saying that, you know, the vision that God puts in our lives, the promise that we're standing on is for an appointed time. Amen. There is a timing for God. Success is knowing what God wants you to do and working in the time that he wants you to do it in. So we can get out of God's timing. We can get out of God's timetable. And so we need to work in God's timetables of life. Amen. I know we don't want to hear that. And so I love this. Patience also allows us to endure through the trials. So patience puts us in a place where we are forced to wait on God. Number two, patience allows us to endure through the trials. So I love what it says in Hebrews 10:32. It says, "But recall the former days, in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with suffering." So the person that wrote Hebrews, I believe it was Paul, he was saying that in our Christian walk, we're going to encounter people that's going to ditch us, that's not going to be our friends. You may have had some worldly friends when you got saved, and then your worldly friends don't want Jesus, but they want you to still come to the clubs. Have you ever had any worldly friends after you got Jesus in your life that says, "Hey, I don't really want your Jesus, but keep coming to the clubs"? And you say, "Well, I can't do that because I'm married to Jesus. I'm not going to the clubs anymore, because the club is where the devil is in manifestation." And so you had to make a choice, and then some of your friends would say, "Well, are you better than us? You don't want to party with us? You think you're better. You're all high and mighty. You're all holy," right? And so we are enduring some persecution. Has anybody ever endured persecution in here for your faith? Amen. You will endure sometimes persecution for your faith. And what he's saying here, recall the former days when you endured persecution. And it says here in verse 33, "Partly why you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly why you became companions of those who were so treated," that even your Christian friends were treated wrong. And then I love what it says in Hebrews 10, 35 and 36. It says, "Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." So what he's saying here is, he's saying in the waiting rooms of life, Don't cast away your confidence in God. Keep believing that God is faithful, that He's going to work it out. He's going to do good things regardless of what it looks like. And He said, don't cast away your confidence. You just have need of endurance. You have to have enduring power working in you. And that enduring power is patience. You have the fruit of the Spirit, which is patience. And you can allow that to work in you. I think about Joseph. And Joseph was a person that was raised up in a family, and his father gave him a lot of favor. And you know the story. You may not know the story of Joseph, but Joseph had jealous brothers that threw him in a pit. Really wanted to kill him because they were jealous of the father giving him a lot of favor. And so Joseph was thrown into a pit, and then he was sold into slavery. You all know about Joseph. And then he became a slave and a person named Potiphar in Potiphar's household. Amen. And so Joseph ended up in Potiphar's house, in the pit, Potiphar's house. And then he ended up getting lied about from Potiphar's wife, saying that she was saying that Joseph tried to rape her, which was a lie. And he got thrown into prison. But you know what? He went from the prison to the palace. So listen to this. Joseph was patient in the pain of rejection. Sometimes you're going to get rejected, and you got to be patient. Even if people are rejecting you, people can reject you, but God will never reject you. You got to be patient in the pain of the process of becoming. Joseph was in the pain of the process. God was training Joseph up to be a leader, to be a commander for Egypt, because God raised him up to be the prime minister of Egypt. So you got to be patient in the pain of the process of becoming. Some of you aren't where you need to be, but you're getting there. You're not exactly where what God wants you to be, but you're getting there. You're in a process. Somebody say, I'm in the process. And then Joseph was patient in the pain of receiving promotion. There's pain because he had to wait all this time. Joseph at 17 was thrown in the pit and got sold into slavery. At 30, he became the prime minister. 13 years of preparation, and finally Joseph became the prime minister. Why did it take 13 years? Because God had to prove him. You got to be proven for promotion. You got to be tested to see if you're worthy of the promotion that God wants to grant you. And so we are all going to go through tests, and that test is the process of waiting until we're proven for promotion. Somebody say, God's promoting me sooner than I think. Why? Because he's molding you into the person. And then Joseph was patient in waiting on the restoration of his family, because it took approximately 22 years for him to reunite with his brothers and his dad. And you know what? He didn't allow what they did, the betrayal, them throwing him into the pit. He didn't allow that unforgiveness to get into his life. And that's my third point. If you're going to be patient, you're going to have to learn to forgive one another in the process of building your relationships with the body of Christ and with your family members. And I'm going to say this, really, we get probably more mad at our family members more than we get mad at strangers. Is that true? Why do we get angry with our family members? Because we know them more, because they mean more to us. So family members can really hurt us more than strangers. Is that right? And so we got to learn to walk in love towards our family members. In Colossians 3:13, it says here, bearing one another, forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. So he's saying here that in this walk of life, not everybody's going to be your favorite person to hang out with. The Bible says we're supposed to love everybody, but it doesn't mean that we like everything people do. Because some people might do things that aren't really cool. But we can still love them in the love of the Lord. I love you with the love of the Lord. Amen. God loves you and I'm trying. I was going to get a bumper sticker. Put that on the back of my car. You know, God loves you and I'm trying. Because we are trying to walk in the love of God. Ain't that right? And so what is patience? It helps us to bear in those times where we don't want to bear. Amen? I love that. Because I'm going to say this. There's only one place in the scriptures. Are you listening to me today? There's only one place in the scriptures where the disciples asked Jesus for more faith. Do you know they didn't ask Jesus for more faith to raise the dead? They didn't ask Jesus for more faith to heal the sick. They asked Jesus for more faith to forgive one another. Wow. Think about that. They said it in Luke 17, 3 and 5. Take heed of yourselves. It's written like this. Take heed of yourself. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you, say it seven times in a day, seven times a day, and seven times a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Amen. So where do we need faith? We need faith in forgiving people that are hurting us. We need faith in people that are doing the same stuff over and over again. But it says if they ask forgiveness. So, Pastor, if they don't ask forgiveness, do I still have to forgive them? Yes. You still got to forgive them, even if you're... Don't be waiting for their apology. Because the Bible says still forgive them. Jesus forgave us while he was on the cross. He wasn't waiting for us to repent first. He forgave us regardless of our attitude towards him. So yes, we forgive those, a brother or sister that comes to us. But even if they don't come to us, they don't owe us an apology. Just release it to God. Amen? How do we walk in patience? How do we do it? And I'm closing out here. It's in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Let's look at this. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So if we're going to run our race, we have to run our race, undergird it with patience. And so patience undergirds our faith. We must be aware that people, this first part, it says that people are in the grandstands of heaven. Amen? That there's a cloud of witnesses. So when we're running our race, we got to realize that there's people that went through the same things we're going through today, and they made it. There are people that have went ahead of us, all the patriarchs, all the people in the Bible. They had to go through struggles. They had to go through hurts and pains, but they made it to the other side. And so when you're going through this, you got to remember other people went through it too. Jesus went through it too, and you can go through it as well. Do you believe that today? In the process of waiting, don't allow the devil to distract you with sins that try to make you escape the waiting process. Because sometimes when we're waiting for God, sometimes we get discouraged. And when we get discouraged, it pushes us sometimes in sins of the flesh. And we want to escape to the movies. Has anybody ever escaped to the movies? And we want to escape our situation. Some people escape through drugs. Some people escape through alcohol. Some people escape because they want to escape the pain of waiting for God to change things. But I'm going to say alcohol won't change it. Amen. These vices that you go into won't change it. It will just make it worse. So I'm going to say this. In the pain of the process of waiting for the promise, you're going to have to lay down those sins that so easily besets you. And then number three, Jesus endured the cross patiently, and he hated the idea of going through the cross. the Bible says that he loathed the idea, but he went through it anyway. Why? Because he was seeing the blessing because of it. He saw all of us, and he saw himself sitting at the right hand of the Father God. So if you're gonna walk in patience in the process of the pain in your life, you must keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus no matter what you're going through in life. The Bible says Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. And number two, if you're going to walk through the process of the pain of waiting, you must keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes on the prize. The Apostle Paul says, I press towards a mark, pressing for that high calling of God in Christ Jesus, looking for that reward. And so you got to keep your eyes on the prize while you're waiting in life. Amen. In closing, patience undergirds our faith and keeps us steady in the waiting room of life until we receive what God has promised us. Do you believe that today? So I'm going to say this to you today in my closing scripture in Hebrews. Do not become slack in your waiting. Don't move into areas of sins of the flesh. Let that go. Keep your faith in God. Imitate those through faith and patience. Inherit the promises. Did you receive it this morning? Amen. I believe that I'm looking at mature believers that are learning to wait for God to move. And God is moving. Remember Daniel? Daniel, we get that 21-day fasting and prayer for Daniel. Daniel waited 21 days, but God moved on the first day. And so just because there's a process doesn't mean God's not moving. God was moving on the first day with Daniel, and the angels said there was opposition in the heavenlies, keeping the blessing from coming in. And the devil's trying to hinder some of our blessings. But, it's not God holding us back. It's the devil trying to hinder us and hinder the blessing. And as we wait on God faithfully, God will make it come to pass in our lives. Did you receive it today? I'm telling you, I'm excited about patience. Not really, but I'm excited about waiting on Lord. Amen. No, I just know that God is pruning me, and God is processing me to be proven for promotion. And when you are in that process to be proven for promotion, and when you get there, I'm telling you, you will be able to keep what God gives you. Do you believe that today? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you for your mercies and your goodness today. I thank you for the fruit of patience or perseverance. And I thank you, Lord God, that we all can persevere because we have the mighty conqueror living on the inside of us, the Lord Jesus Christ. And perhaps you're here today, or you're watching and listening, and you never made the confession of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Today is the day of salvation. You can put Jesus in the driver's seat of your life. So I want you to pray this simple prayer and mean it in your heart. If you're ready to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, just say this and mean it in your heart. Say, "Dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead for my justification. Today, I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen."
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.